deeply pervasive that they've picked up lots of info via some kind of osmosis. Arthur lives in a big stone castle called Camelot, they tell me. He gets help from Merlin the Magician. He and all his noble knights sit at a giant round table, and the greatest of these knights, they assure me, is Sir Lancelot, who has an affair with Arthur's wife, Queen Guinevere. One of the quests in which Arthur's knights engage is the pursuit of the Holy Grail. King and knights alike often dress in beautiful shiny plate armor, and they adhere to a strict code of chivalric conduct. Arthur is ultimately betrayed by his nephew Mordred, who, and here we have a collective gasp in the classroom, is also his son. And when he is mortally wounded, the king is carried away to the magic island of Avalon, where he will be healed, and someday he may come again to save the Britons in their hour of need. So after we've done all this, and I've put all this information up on the chalkboard, I asked them about the real historical King Arthur. Are all these things we've written true? Oh, yes, they say. All of it. One or two savvy students might say something like, well, Merlin wasn't really a magician. He just seemed that way because he knew a lot of scientific stuff. And they might note that Arthur can't really come again. He died, but people were so sad they made up the story about the magical island and the healing to make themselves feel better. And then, going point by point, I have to tell them that nothing we've put up on the board is accurate. In the time of the historical figure on which the legend of Arthur is based, no one's building in stone. Scratch the castle. Ditto on the pretty armor. Boiled leather is more like it. There was an early medieval Welsh bard named Myrddin, who seems probably to have been the basis for the character of Merlin, but his story and Arthur's don't get linked together until almost 600 years after their historical counterparts have died. Lancelot is similarly and disappointingly a very late addition to the story, and he shows up first in a French text, not a British one. Was also a French guy who made up the round table. Indeed, I say to the class, there are a number of scholars who believe there never was a King Arthur at all. He's just a fairy tale, completely made up, a projection of all the fantasies of a people or peoples longing for a heroic leader. Now, when I say this last part, I can see some of them actually look like they're starting to panic. I once had a young woman call out from the back of the room, "You're making me sad! Don't wreck it!" But you can all relax. I tell them that I myself am quite certain that there was an historical figure, one totally awesome guy who deserved to become a legend, and this figure had a name that was something like Arthur or Artus or Arturus. And he did some amazing stuff at a time when a lot of people needed a champion and protector. He doesn't look anything like the king so many of us imagine. He's not seated in a magnificent hall at a great round table with all the greatest knights in the land eager to serve him. Nor was he probably even called king during his own lifetime. But he was real. He was remarkable. And the truth of his story is in many ways more compelling than the fictions that have sprung up over the centuries. All right, so who is this guy? Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, if we're going to understand who King Arthur really was, we have to understand the historical context, which means we have to go all the way back to the last days of the Roman Empire, back to the moment when the ancient world in Europe was just starting to transform into the medieval one. So, Rome. More specifically, Rome at the end of the 4th century and the beginning of the 5th, right around the year 400 AD or so. We could talk about just the Roman Empire for a whole 24 lectures, but in the interest of time and to get through this lecture, here's the short version. By the beginning of the 5th century, the Roman Empire had overextended itself. In the words of historian Barbara Rosenwein, at the height of its power, the Roman Empire wrapped itself around the Mediterranean like a scarf. And the empire included much of what we